A rosy hello to everyone. Welcome back to Rose Thorn Podcast, starring Chris and Maddie Rose. So we're here tonight talking about...
Only the greatest movie of ever, Spice Girls, the Spice World movie.
That's what we're up to. This is episode 10. So we thought, episode 10, let's do something special, iconic, legendary...
Close to our hearts.
Award-winning, Spice World.
I fucking love this movie so much.
Just to be honest with everyone, this movie is not available for purchase. It's not available on streaming. I went to Google Movies to, like, buy it. It's not even there. So we had to watch some shitty, boycotted YouTube version of this. Link in the bio if you would also like to watch it.
It's just free on YouTube, everyone. You're welcome.
Yeah. So that was a good hour and a half.
Have they just run out of copyright? Is that what it is? That they were just like, ah, that'll do.
Possibly. Or maybe there's just not the demand in the market to be hosting it on streaming services. Fools. I mean, Mamma Mia's right there making them millions of dollars. So could Spice World the movie.
I went to JB Hi-Fi to buy this because my housemates were like, you'll definitely be able to find this in the $9 bin. I went into JB and I got laughed at. By the cashier when I asked for it. He laughed at me.
That is rude. Rude and insensitive.
Yeah, I just left with my tail between my legs.
So it was a no then?
It was a no. It was a hard no.
I think I have a copy of it on DVD, which I purchased at Coles 15 years ago or something. And yeah, it must have been like $9.95. Worth every cent, except I'm not plugging in my DVD player. It's not happening.
I found it on like the Sanity website, but they said out of stock. Everyone's going to Sanity to stock up on their Spice World.
When was the first time that you watched this movie?
It was you and I. I don't think we went to the cinema and saw it, but we definitely had it on VHS. And it was an Easter holiday. I can't remember where we were, in like some little cabin. And you and I watched it till we broke the tape.
Destroyed the tape is what I remember.
But I don't know about you. I loved this as a kid, loved it. But it's a bit of a slog now to watch it. Like, it took me a few goes to get all the way through.
Okay. Not much happens. It has a lot of lines. It has a lot of jokes. It has a lot of flashbacks. But nothing happens. The movie's set over the course of a week.
Yeah. And there's no character development.
No. Who was your favourite Spice Girl when you were growing up?
Scary. Mel B. Yeah.
Mine was Emma, and I feel that my opinion has drastically changed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely not Emma anymore.
Are you going to tell me who your favourite is now or at the end of this?
Oh, at the end. See if you can guess.
All right. Okay. I'm just going to throw it out there. I reckon it's Victoria.
Could be.
Who will know? The suspense of this podcast already.
It's a high-stakes movie, so we're making this podcast as equally high stakes.
Well, let's crack on then, Chris.
So it opens. It opens with the Spice Girls performing at Top of the Pops. They're performing Too Much, which when it first started, I was like, it's a kind of boring song to be performing as an opening. But when the chorus came in, I was fully on board.
It's such a great song. One of my favourites. All the girls are on the stage and they're all wearing like matching white outfits, except for Jerry has just on like this dress and it just says Power Girl all over it.
It was horrible, that dress. I looked at it. It looked like a Hesham sack or like a bunch of pillowcases just with Jerry and Girl Power and Power Girls written on it. No, it was horrible.
Loved it. Love that. She's a fucking queen.
Lots of shoulder dancing and Jerry's microphone was off. She was not being recorded.
I love there's all the credits start coming up. And there's one that really struck my fancy. And it said, based on the idea by the Spice Girls and Kim Fuller.
Who is Kim Fuller?
Well, glad you asked. Kim Fuller is a screenwriter. He is also wrote the screenplay for S Club 7 Special Edition 2001.
Oh, God. They went right up there. They're like, should we get Spielberg? Should we get James Cameron? No. Let's go. Kim Fuller.
I love it. I'm so happy about it.
Well, apparently he has gone from strength to strength.
So, after the girls perform too much, now we switch out and they're in completely different outfits.
They meet their tour manager.
Yes, Clifford.
He rushes them down, and we also see that their girls have a documentary crew following them around for the week because it's a big week. They've got a... Where are they performing? At Albert Hall on the Saturday?
Sure, I never wrote that down, but I take your word for it. It was a live show is all I ever wrote down.
It was a big live show that they have, I think, at Albert Hall. So because of the lead up to that, they're doing some promo around the town and they have a documentary crew following them. And I mean, that's pretty much the plot of the movie. The end.
The end.
So it's been great. And next week we'll...
So the girls leave. Okay. Well, before, you know, the end of the movie, the girls leave their Top of the Pops concert and they are going out to meet their tour bus and their bus driver is Meatloaf. Excellent.
Yeah. And Elton John is in this movie for about 2 seconds. He just pops up, says hello, and then is gone again.
He looked oddly aroused by the girls, didn't he?
Maybe he thought they were drag queens.
I mean, fair. Those shoes.
That hair. That fake tan.
The voices, the hands.
So they get onto their tour bus, which is painted with the Union Jack flag. And it's a huge tour bus inside. Speeds off to the song Do It. And inside, each of the girls has their own, like, separate pod corner, and it's all made up to sort of reflect their characters. I wouldn't say their personality, I would say their characters, their personas.
Absolutely. They have a small fight because Jerry is looking for her shoes, and it turns out that Mel B is wearing them. So then they have a bit of a cat fight and pile on and throw pillows. It's all very, very bizarre.
Very fun. They're just siblings, basically, aren't they? Victoria delivers her iconic line about, well, she doesn't even say it. I think Mel C says it to her. Victoria's deciding what to wear, and Mel C says to her, it must be hard for you to decide between the little Gucci dress, or the little Gucci dress.
And Emma pipes up, I know, why don't you wear the little Gucci dress?
And Victoria's like, yeah, that's a great idea. So she's obviously got a very good dry sense of humour.
And Clifford has like a speaker over the bus. So he makes all these announcements throughout the movie. And the first one is, now hear this. There's a press conference. That means smiling at cameras and answering lots of dumb questions. Like me at work.
And then we get shown the girls at the press conference and they are smiling and they are answering dumb questions. Not much happens. They say that it's going to be broadcast in millions of countries. Jerry speaks Spanish, which the reporter thinks is French. Emma then barely speaks Japanese. Like she says, what, konnichiwa, arigato.
Pretty much.
The reporter thinks that's Portuguese. And then the Mels, Mel B and Mel C, they say, look, I couldn't tell you what they said. And yeah, I to this day, I don't know what they said.
I had no idea.
And that's the end of the press conference. So good.
Then we switch to two random men.
American men.
American men that are just watching the Spice Girls, and they decide that they're going to write a movie about the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
While we're watching a movie of the Spice Girls. Like, it's very meta. It's very self-aware.
I think this movie thinks that it's self-aware.
It is fun.
Yeah. Don't turn off yet, podcast listener.
And it's free on YouTube. You'll be right. Strap in.
What's time worth anyway?
Nothing.
So the movie execs decide the Spice Girls are cute. There's five of them. That's a great movie. We're going to pitch it this afternoon.
So exactly this movie.
So now Clifford has a Charlie's Angels type big boss who speaks in nonsense metaphors. And I don't know, I guess he's the guy behind the door that's directing what the Spice Girls are doing.
So he just calls Clifford, says some shit that makes no sense, and then hangs up. Meanwhile, he's got a pet cat in this first scene, and that changes all the way through.
And then now the Spice Girls are rehearsing Say You'll Be There.
Yes, and Mel B is in a spacesuit?
Yeah, why is she dressed as an astronaut?
It's so big and bulky.
Yeah, this movie was made before reality television existed. And it sort of shows in the way that the documentary crew is following the Spice Girls around. Whereas now, if it's a reality show, they just literally record everything and then cut it down to what they need.
Mm.
Whereas here, in this movie, the documentary crew is quite useless. And all the stuff that you'd want to see, like the Spice Girls recording, rehearsing, fighting with each other, where the fuck is the documentary crew? Why are their cameras not on?
That's so true.
And the documentary crew, the host, he just talks to the camera the whole time. We don't watch a Spice Girls documentary to see your face.
No, not at all. You're right. I didn't even think of that. That's so important.
We're discussing the critical elements.
Back to the Say You'll Be There rehearsal. Some random pregnant lady rocks up and all the girls stop singing to go and greet her.
Nicola. It's their best friend forever, Nicola.
And Nicola lets them know that she's a week overdue. And her boyfriend, Trevor, has left her.
Oh, he was always bad news, wasn't he, Trevor? I didn't like him from the start.
The start was him leaving, so there was never a good foot.
It's only downhill from here, Trevor. Mel C says, in the worst acting I think I've ever seen, says to Nicola, "Don't worry, it'll be all right." And then we get a flash forward of the five Spice Girls, what, 20 years in the future, so 5 years ago from now, and they're all mums.
I think it was Victoria was picking on Emma for having 7 children. She's like, oh, but they're so cute when they're little, but then they grow up to be right little bleeders.
What does that mean?
I have no fucking idea. Like bleeding her of money? Bleeding her of her youth?
Are they just scraping their knees the whole time? Is she a negligent parent? Should we call someone?
Do they have that blood disorder where they just can't stop bleeding?
Hemophilia.
What does it mean, Emma? What does it mean?
It's very meta, isn't it?
And Mel C is fat and she's on this exercise bike and she's complaining that her son wants to grow up to be a singer.
And then it ends with Jerry yelling at her kid upstairs for playing one of their songs too loudly.
Mama, mama, I love you. Mama, I care. Fucking great song.
I'm not convinced. So flash forward ends and we're doing another rehearsal of the same song. This time Victoria's microphone is turned on, which is lovely. So the girls nail their performance, well, their rehearsal, and now we're introduced to Barry Humphrey's character, which is like a Rupert Murdoch type newspaper figurehead.
Look, I can't look at Barry Humphreys without thinking of Dame Edna.
Hello, possums. No, I can't even do it.
I love... So I've just written him down as Dame Edna for everything. Because that's who he will be till the day I die, Dame Edna.
Oh, I just wish he wasn't a transphobe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
How come everyone I love turns out to be trash?
Did you hear the news today about Marilyn Manson?
Yes, I did. I was reading that while I was at work. Working very hard, listeners, very hard. Oh, fucking Marilyn Manson. What a scumbag.
Well, he looked like a scumbag.
I know, but it still upsets me. You know the one band that hasn't disappointed me from my youth? ICP. Insane Clown Posse.
Okay. I don't know anything about them as people.
You know what? They have just never turned out to be scumbags.
And Maddie, what have the Spice Girls done to disappoint you personally? Please, tell me.
Never come out to Australia, Christopher.
Okay, yes, fair fucking point.
They keep telling me they will, and then keep fucking cancelling.
100%. Okay, agree. They're cancelled. So that's the end of this podcast. Join us again next week for... Okay, anyway, so Rupert Murdoch character, Dame Edna, he wants to bring the Spice Girls down because he's sick of them being all over his newspapers that he prints. I think that's the reason. It's not even that he wants to sell more papers. He's just sick of them.
He's sick of looking at them. He made them big. Now he's sick of it.
Sure. Okay. I mean, it's not a great villain backstory, is it?
No.
They could have at least made the Spice Girls have run over his dog or something.
No, they just decided that's it. He's going to split up the Spice Girls and his assistant is going to go find someone that can help them with that. We're back on the tour bus with Clifford announcing, "Now hear this. Moisturising cream should not be kept in the fridge because it can be staken for mayonnaise."
Yes. So Mel B and Jerry are playing chess. Mel B can't play chess and just fucks up the game. Jerry gets upset and says, that's not the rules. You have to listen to Mr. Chess. We're just discussing these little parts of the movie because nothing happens.
I think Jerry at that point.
Are you going to tell me about her outfit?
Okay, yes, I will. She is wearing a halter neck with fringe and what looks like no pants, but it turns out they're just very, very short orange hot pants.
It's a lot to be casually lounging around on a bus wearing, isn't it?
It's fine, because the next scene they have like a photo shoot and she uses it in that.
So she's thrifty. The movie execs, they've turned up to pitch their story, which they've worked on for months, to Clifford, which is a bunch of stupid movies about five sisters, elderly grandmother, Olympics, blah, 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 blah. Clifford doesn't like it, so their next story is crocodiles, which I would like to see the Spice Girls and crocodiles together in a movie. Yes, thank you.
You know, there's a lot more plot in the two movies they pitch than whatever happens in the movie we're currently watching.
So I think we're still on the first day.
Yes.
Right? No, it must be this. So we're on the second day of this movie's sure. life. It's getting to nighttime. The girls are teasing Emma, saying that she acts like a baby all the time. She says, "No, I don't." And then we get a dream sequence of Emma when she's 30 in a Cluedo murderer type scene where she's obviously shot somebody and gets away with it because she does a cheesy smile.
A cheesy smile at Hugh Laurie with like this cute twirly mustache. Yes, please. I'll take that for a fucking ride. He is gorgeous. Hot damn.
Oh, and there was just one other thing I noticed. On this bus, Mel B's got a fish tank, right?
Right.
And she's talking to her fish and she says that one of them she doesn't like because it reminds her of her ex Stephen, like her ex-husband Stephen.
Well, this was way before that, wasn't it?
I know, but is it the Spice Girls actually living this movie?
Ah, it's a premonition! This movie is wonderful. I take everything back about it. I love it. So Mel tries to eat the fish through the glass, which makes zero fucking sense.
That's just how crazy and scary she is.
Just spontaneous.
And now we're at a photo shoot.
And we have Saturday Night Divas playing the song. Great song.
Fun.
It is a fun song. Except I have an issue here. Just a small one. They dress Mel B up in what I can only say is like a caveman or possibly like African hunter outfit. And they chose to put the black girl in that.
Yes.
That was a choice. Probably not a choice we would make now.
It wasn't a great choice. There was many other options they could have explored.
Yeah, that wasn't it, guys.
No.
But it ends with the girls dressing up as each other and they all complain about the other person's clothes being uncomfortable. Except, who was in Mel C's outfit? Because she loved it.
Was it Jerry?
It must have been Jerry.
Is this like another meta joke that the Spice Girls are telling us? Yes, this is just a costume. This isn't who we are.
I think so. I would like to think they're that deep and that clever.
I mean, this movie is deep and clever, so it's entirely possible. So now, Rupert Murdoch, I didn't actually get his character's name because who gives a shit? He's hired some creepy girl to stalk the girls, really.
Yeah, creepy photographer.
So he's our villain. So they're back on the bus. Clifford's angry about there being hair in the showers, and they go to a publicity party. Okay, so Jerry is upstairs with two of the other Spice Girls and some random person complaining about publicity parties because, her words, everybody dresses so over the top. Meanwhile, she is wearing negligee, see-through shawl. Her ass is hanging out. Her tits are hanging out. She's barely dressed, complaining about people dressing over the top.
But all I have to tell you is, Chris, I have that feather shawl that she's wearing. I have it, and I wear it unironically because I fucking love it. I wear that with, like, a mid-length leather dress and feather shoulders. It's fucking epic.
Sounds it.
Jennifer Saunders is there. She's talking shit. She was talking to Posh.
And manta ray glasses, because I guess Victoria's decided she wants to be deep now. She wants to talk about other things, not just fashion. So her go-to topic is manta rays.
Because Jerry said earlier that manta rays are the biggest kind of fish, which, dear listeners, is not true. It's the whale shark is the biggest fish. And I don't want to take it away from Jerry, but it's not the manta ray, lads.
So Nicola turns up. That's their random pregnant friend. So she turns up and she invites all five of the Spice Girls to be godmother to her unborn baby. Mel C's acting is still dreadful. She is atrocious. And then they all rush off to do some other interview and Nicola's left alone at the party and she feels like a nobody, so she just leaves. They have another interview with the television presenter. They talk about boys and if Jerry likes boys, and she says, is the Pope a Catholic? Which apparently is big news all over the media stations because they're taking her words out of context.
I really liked, before they asked Jerry about if she likes boys, it gets asked, I wish we could order men. Deep pan, 6 foot, green eyes, loafers and no socks. And then Mel B leans over, and no cheese. What does no cheese mean, Chris? Like dick cheese? Does she mean dick cheese? Or like a hairy chest? I have questions.
Maybe Stephen had some dick cheese problems and she just won't go back to that again.
Fair enough.
So the Charlie's Angels guy calls Clifford again and says something about rabbits and hooks. And then the girls fly to Milan for one night for one show. It seems like a bit of a trek for one show.
Ah, it's fine. It's Europe. Everything's so close. It's fine because Mel B is back in that spacesuit from earlier on, which I have questions about the costume people in this. Why is she wearing the same outfit? This is a fucking movie. Give her another outfit.
Maybe she just liked it.
This is where there's a small bit of controversy. The male dancers arrive at the back of the stage while they're rehearsing and they're in like tidy whitey shorts and it is hot. They are oiled up. They look good.
I didn't understand this part of the movie at all. Why did they fly to Milan for this show? What was this show? Why did this Italian guy want these naked men on the stage?
With the Spice Girls.
Many questions.
It's like softcore porn.
But why?
Have no answer for you.
I don't think there's an answer to be found.
It is what it is.
Then Clifford doesn't want the naked boys on the stage. He gets into a fight with the Italian guy. And then they fight about mothers for something, like racist stereotype, sure. Jerry sorts it out. They sing the same song with the boys, but they turn around. The boys are now dressed in like, I don't know how you describe it, like a tuxedo or one-piece tuxedo.
A purple holographic suit. But they turn around and the pants are arseless. They are arseless chap pants. It's fucking excellent. And their bums are so brown, Chris. They're so brown. They're so tan. Their butt cheeks are so brown.
Why does the guy want the guy's butt cheeks hanging out? It's weird.
Chris, never in my 31 years of life have I seen such brown butt cheeks.
So that performance ends and they fly back to the UK. Get back in quite late and they're on the bus driving home. The girls need to pee because all the toilets on the bus are blocked and Meatloaf says he would do anything for the girls.
But I won't do that.
So the five girls trek off the bus together to go into the bushes to pee. And they walk quite far away.
With their little flashlights going everywhere. Because again, it's so old that they have flashlights. And out of nowhere, just aliens land.
The aliens are big fans of the Spice Girls.
One of the aliens honks Mel B's tit.
You can't see, but I'm hitting myself in the head. And she got mad about it, but the other girls criticized her for being mad. Be mad about that.
You're allowed to be mad about that.
The girls send Jerry out to talk to the aliens to see what they want. But, I mean, shouldn't they have sent Emma out? Wasn't that their thing before, that Emma's so cute she can get away with anything? Mm. So that's a plot hole. Major plot hole right there.
I think the idea is that Jerry's meant to be the mediator, because they send her out to mediate a lot in this movie. Is that because she doesn't have a character, really?
So they get their photo with the aliens, and then they get back on the bus, and that's the last that we ever hear of them.
And the girls explain to Clifford about the aliens, and he thinks they're having a mental break, tells them that they can have the morning off. But then Clifford gets a phone call from his James Bond boss and tells them that he's not allowed to.
But the girls are excited to have a night off, so they all leave the bus. But then, only joking, they get back on the bus, no problem.
Even though Nicola's baby is overdue.
So now we're at dance school.
Now we're at dance school. Why?
It's a bit late to be going to dance school, isn't it? The performance is only a couple of days away.
Yeah, exactly. Why are they doing this? Except this character was so much fun.
Oh no, this was a delight. I'm not complaining about the inclusion at all.
He tells them, I'm going to show you my port-a-bra. Now, to be fair, I was meant to look up what that meant. I have no fucking idea. But then looks at Jerry and goes, you won't be needing it because she's got big old titties. I don't know what port-a-bra means, but apparently big old titties.
That is funny. He's trying to teach them some terrible old-fashioned dance. The girls are having none of it, so they just do their own thing. So they've obviously already got choreography planned. I don't know why they had to go to a dance teacher now. And then they walk outside for no apparent reason, dressed in, what, army cadet clothes?
Yes.
Which is just iconic for Victoria.
Because she has to wear a mini dress, Chris, and stilettos. And damn, that girl looks good. If everyone has to be dressed in army, be Victoria in the mini dress. Yes, queen!
And heels. And, okay, a couple of the... They do like a little obstacle course. Victoria does walk around one of them, but she does most of the obstacle course in fucking heels and a mini dress.
Fuck yes. The whole time she's like walking away from the camera and she like pulls it down because it's riding up. Now, I don't know if that was acting or the truth, because I have been there, lady.
An Oscar. An Oscar just for that.
Victoria, take my money. I love you.
And so now we finished dance school and the girls are...
Hold on.
Tell me.
Do you not want to talk about the chant the Spice Girls do there?
Okay, yes. Go for it.
In the middle of their little boot camp? We're the Spice Girls, yes indeed. Just girl power is all we need. You know how we got this far. Strength and courage and a wonder bra. Come on now. Getting that tattooed on my face.
Yes, and then they sing about... Moments before Jerry quit the band.
Oh, savage.
Jerry was already writing her resignation as they were filming this movie.
Okay. Now you can talk about the creepy house.
Girls are now sleeping in some creepy old house. The photographer has entered the house through the toilet. It wakes all the girls up. They get into bed together and they talk about how they've been having bad dreams because they're scared of the performance that's coming up. And I think it's supposed to be a bonding moment, but honestly, there's no characters in this movie.
But the photographer gets his, like, scoop and sends it to all the press, and the headline is, Scaredy Spice Girl Scared of Live Concert. Rude.
But he didn't get a scoop, Maddie. He's a photographer. Where is the scoop?
How was that a scoop?
He's a photographer.
I don't get it. I didn't write the fucking screenplay.
I'm not a Spice Girl.
Talk to Kim Fuller about this fucking screenplay, not me.
So now we're having brunch outside. Clifford's freaking out. The girls laugh at him. He runs away upset. His assistant,
Deborah,
chases after him. The girls talk about mating.
And they decide to set Clifford and Deborah up for no reason. And then do no follow through for that.
No. I feel like this movie happens to the Spice Girls. It doesn't happen about them. It happens to them. So now, and I, look, it's with a heavy heart I have to discuss this scene. Because when I was a kid, I loved it. I thought it was fun. But, oh, the movie execs, they're back. They want to pitch a movie about Spice Force 5, which is a cheap...
Hold on.
Tell me.
Are you going to sass Spice Force 5 here?
Yes.
Oh, Chris, you are going to go off my Christmas card list at this fucking moment. Can I? In this moment. Your birthday's coming up. Do you want a fucking gift?
Look, the idea's cute and there could be fun in it, but it's just... It's more of the same joke that they've already done, that Victoria just sort of stands there and vogues, Emma's cute, Jerry's creative.
No, stop, stop, no. Baby is the martial artist. Sporty is counter-espionage. Mel B is the explosive expert. Ginger, master of disguise. Fuck off.
And the other one, Victoria.
And then Victoria has some bad cat sound effects over her voice.
So that's that. And the documentary guys are back. I don't know why. So somebody has set up these two girls, these two young kids that they must have won a competition. So now they get to spend the day with the Spice Girls.
Sure. No prologue on that. They are not quite having fun on the bus, which I don't understand why they wouldn't be. So the Spice Girls take the kids and they get on some guy's boat and they go speedboating on the river with the song My Boy Lollipop. Like, have we run out of Spice Girl songs? Is that why we're listening to that?
They crash into a post and the little kids just fly off the boat. I think Victoria falls off as well as Mel C. And did you clock the stunt doubles?
No.
The men with hairy legs.
Stop it. Are you kidding?
It was so terrible.
You clocked stunt doubles on a shitty YouTube version of Spice World the movie.
Just the hairy legs. The thick, chunky Victoria hairy legs.
They must be so hairy for you to see it.
Rewatch. Rewatch. It's fun. Mel C swims to where Victoria and the two kids have propped themselves up onto a buoy when Victoria starts screaming, help, help! You don't understand. This dress is dry clean only.
Hilarious. But of course, Chris, the creepy photographer was there and he took all the photos of the children in the water.
Which, fair, as he probably should. Like, I feel docs should be following these girls around.
I mean, that's a scoop. That's not scaredy spy. That's a scoop. So Clifford has a bit of a mental breakdown and Deborah, his assistant, offers him rescue remedy.
Yes. Yeah. Is this a thing?
Apparently it's just you and I who don't know of this.
Maybe. So they have a fight with Clifford and they storm off the stage. Victoria leaves and the other Spice Girls follow her. So what? Is the show cancelled? Is that where we're at this movie?
Pretty much, yeah. The girls don't want to show up to the next gig.
It's fine, because Clifford has a plan. He is going to round up four of his closest mates and dress up as the Spice Girls and perform. Now that's a movie I would watch.
Oh, I would love that. He wanted to be Victoria as well, which I can see it.
Yes, he's got the snark.
Rupert Murdoch, Dame Edna, is really happy that the Spice Girls are having this drama and are possibly splitting up. So the girls all go to their respective homes and we only really see Jerry's house and she's watching some movie, crying, and then has a flashback to apparently this guy, Brian, who was integral to the Spice Girls getting together.
Mr. Jenkins from our last podcast.
Yes, from The Witches.
Yeah, apparently Brian helped the Spice Girls create Wannabe, or as he refers to it, Flip Flop. Slash funk.
He likes jazz. He thinks jazz is going to make a comeback.
I mean, we're still waiting. Viva Forever comes on. And the girls all meet back up at this cafe, but it's been shut down. Wow. So the girls wander down to the docks and they start worrying about fame. Maybe we won't be cool and famous forever. And now we have another dream sequence flash forward, and it's a courthouse. A judge has decided that the last single from the girls wasn't as catchy as their other songs, so it's going to debut at 179, and then we have some racist joke about them having to perform in Taiwan for the rest of their lives. And the next scene after that, the girls decide they're going to have fun, so they decide to take Nicola out dancing. Bitch is like 11 months pregnant and they decide to take her out dancing to a nightclub. A nightclub.
What the fuck was that about?
Why the hell would the Spice Girls decide to take their pregnant?
I have met pregnant women. They are not going dancing.
Impossible. Why would that be a good idea?
There's no fucking way.
She can't drink. She can't dance. She can't stand up.
She's having a bad fucking night. Ugh. There's no way.
They just ditch her to go dance and leave her, and she goes into labor.
Yeah, my favorite, before she goes into labor, Posh is just like looking at the crowd. And she's like, can anybody tell me what the dress code is here?
Oh, God. So I would say that they are all irresponsible Spice at this point.
Emma has a really cute line here. They're asking, who do you call in an emergency? And Emma, my mom. Very sweet. They get Nicola onto the bus to drive her to the hospital. And while they're doing that, Jerry's got these big kitchen gloves on. And she's like, keep your legs together. That'll stop the baby coming out. And I can't remember what one of the girls says to her. That's too late. She should have done that 9 months ago. Very funny.
It was probably Victoria. The nurse comes in and asks how dilated she is and says to the girls, oh, don't worry, you've got a long time. She's not due just yet. Like, it's just the beginning of the labor. So while they're waiting for that, three of them go to visit some random kid that's in a coma. It's Victoria, Jerry, and Mel C, I want to say.
I think so, yeah.
They do wake up the kid because Victoria suggests that Jerry take her top off. And that, then the kid wakes up.
So inappropriate.
So now we see Clifford. He's still stressed because the whole world is waiting for the show and the girls are at the hospital waiting for a baby, so they're late.
Luckily, Nicola has the child very quickly.
The documentary crew is there the whole time, paying absolutely no attention to what the girls are doing.
What was their job? What were they filming?
Nicola has the baby and it's a girl. That's girl power for you.
Not fucking surprised.
Females having female babies. They find the reporter who was hiding in the hospital to take photos of them.
But now, this is where the movie gets really complex. The movie executives are talking to Clifford while he's back at the stage waiting for the girls to show up. And they're, like, explaining to him this new movie concept, which turns out is exactly what's happening to the Spice Girls at that very minute. So getting a voiceover of the movie execs, which is dumb. The Spice Girls discover the creepy photographer. They have a little chase scene. He gets pushed into a wall and has a complete change of heart. And we find out his name is Damien, and now he is going to go after the Rupert Murdoch, Dame Edna character and bring him down for his evil ways.
Very easy to solve that problem. So that's problem number one done. Now, all the Spice Girls have to do is get from the hospital to Albert Hall, but their driver has disappeared.
Meatloaf has disappeared.
Meatloaf's on lunch break. So Victoria drives them back.
And she complains about Sunday drivers when it's only bloody Saturday.
The girls drive past Buckingham Palace and I guess the Queen waves at them. And then as the movie execs are explaining to Clifford, the girls appear on top of the bus. For why?
I don't know, but their boots, Christopher, the boots they're wearing. I love them. I want them. Christmas is coming. I'll have them. I would love to be 7 foot tall, please.
They were a lot, but luckily they had like sticky soles to the bottom so they could climb on top of that bus safely. Victoria breaks too suddenly and all four of the girls just pile back in on top of each other. They come to a drawbridge.
It's the infamous bus seat. So the bridge is opening up, it's the one scene, if you ask anyone if they've seen the Spice World movie, they know this scene. The bridge starts opening up to let a boat through. And then it cuts to this scene where it's this little toy bus jumping over.
Like a Lego.
A Lego bus jumping over this gap in a bridge. Mwah! Chef's kiss. Beautiful.
Cinematography accolades.
1997. Nailed it.
Victoria says to the girls before they go sailing over this bridge, hold on to your knickers. And then there's a bomb on the bus.
Of course there's a fucking bomb on the bus because of the rules. But Clifford is not happy yet, and he wants the writers to wrap the movie up early because the girls are already late to their live performance. So he just points at the door. Or the writer, sorry, points at the door. It's like, and the girls come in right there. But that's not how movie rules work, dear listeners. So the girls still have to finish. So they park the bus somewhere, they get out, and they're running across some kind of square in London. So they get stopped by the police. But luckily, Emma apologises and he reads off all the things that they'd done. Reckless driving, scaring the pigeons, flying a bus without a permit.
I mean, that's how, the last one does sound serious.
Flying a bus without a permit.
Yeah, that sounds serious. She shouldn't be doing that.
But not in those shoes.
They get away without anything and Clifford's freaking out and he's telling the documentary crew, who have finally turned their cameras on, that his plan is he's just going to walk in center stage in front of the crowds and hang himself. It's a tad dramatic that they're 10 minutes late.
Chris, that's me every day at work. It's not that dramatic.
And he says his final words are going to be, I hate the Spice Girls, as they all burst in, cover him with kisses, tease him. He says,
I love the Spice Girls. The stage is lit. We flash to Clifford's Bond boss. He's now bottle feeding the pig. We missed the point where he had a pet rabbit. He went from a cat to a rabbit to now this pig, which I love. I love that he is a pet pig.
He's an animal rights activist, I can tell. Clifford and Deborah have a little moment where Clifford says something about apologizing, and now the Spice Girls are on stage singing Spice Up Your Life. Boom, nailed it. End of movie.
I love this. Mel B is in a jacket, which has got one button done up over her nips, and then like short shorts. Jerry is in like a red bodysuit with a burlesque tail, I guess is the only way I could describe that. Posh is in like a leopard print mini dress. Emma is in a silver mini dress. And Mel C is wearing joggers. She's wearing fucking joggers.
Well, she is tired from carrying the weight of all the Spice Girls singing and creativity. So she's wearing joggers for comfort.
I feel like that girl got the fucking raw end of the stick. All these girls look fantastic. And she's like, sweats and joggers. That's my look. Girl had it. She had so much glitter highlight on. I was like, that thing is popping. And you're wearing fucking joggers. Mm. It's just not fair. And Nicola is in the hospital dancing to the Spice Girls live performance with a 6-month-old.
It was a long bus trip, okay?
That baby was overcooked.
Well, yeah, it was a week overdue, so that's how big babies get now.
End of movie. We're done here.
Yeah, and then we just have some fun end credit scene of all the characters from the movie breaking character and complaining about things and wanting extra feedback from some guy. And the Spice Girls appear and then they start talking to us, the audience.
I feel so included.
Yes, I know. It's like they can really see us.
What is it that Posh says? Not you. The one behind, on the left. Your dress is cute.
She had one character trait and she just ran with it. And somebody says, oh, well, we know what you're thinking now. And Mel C says, whatever happened to the bomb on the bus? Boom.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
And now we have Lady is a Vamp.
Fucking great song.
But this movie was set over the course of a week.
Sure.
Started on a Monday and the performance was on a Saturday and that was it. I feel like I know less about the Spice Girls as individual people from watching this movie than I did before watching this movie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They just act as one. Whoever wrote this movie didn't give them any character. He just gave characters to the people around them.
Oh, Kim Fuller. Classic Kim Fuller and his S Club 7. Oh, stop. It was a good time.
Yes.
But it was fucking awful.
Okay, so Kim Fuller is the brother of Simon Fuller, who was the Spice Girls manager.
Oh, stop it.
And apparently Simon Fuller was the reason that the Spice Girls broke up, because I think he was sleeping with or dating Emma Bunton for a while, and I think Jerry got angry with that, and that's why she left the group.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Ooh. I have inside gossip.
From Wicca?
No, that's not even on Wikipedia. Should I edit their wiki?
Yeah, you should, because how do you know this?
Oh, I can't reveal all my secrets.
Yes, you absolutely... Oh, yeah, you're right. I was about to say, you can. I'm your sister. And then I realised this is...
No one's listening.
You're right. This is a podcast. This doesn't count. Never mind. I take it all back. Tell me when we stop recording. I'm so excited.
So I guess that's how he got the job as writing this movie.
Well, he fucking sucked. I remember loving this as a kid. But in saying that, I was a kid.
Yeah.
I also liked putting sugar in plain milk. My tastes were poor.
The movie itself, it's fun, but it's just a marketing exercise for them, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It was a way to promote their album.
You know what was a great marketing thing that they did? Do you remember their deodorants?
Do you remember the lollipops?
I don't remember the lollipops.
And the Polaroid cameras?
Oh, we could never afford those. I wanted them.
Oh, God, I wanted that.
They were so expensive. I still want all of those deodorants. If you ever find them on eBay, just buy them. I'll give you the money. I don't care. I remember them being so delicious. Maybe we should start a petition and get them to remake that scent, because fucking take my money. Take my grown-up money.
So, Rose and a Thorn. We're at the critical moment where we discuss this critically acclaimed, world-renowned movie. And for me, it 100% is Victoria.
Yes! Fucking call that.
She was my least favorite Spice Girl when I was a kid, but she was hilarious this whole movie.
Yes.
She committed to that dry, sassy, offbeat character, playing along with the jokes, not taking herself too seriously like some other people. Melanie C.
I'm so glad that I called that earlier.
When four of the Spice Girls are acting as one person, like in the army scene, she's the one there in a miniskirt and stilettos, looking ridiculous. She must have felt like such an idiot. Looks amazing.
She reached into that bag and just pulled out more. And I was like, yes, fucking do it.
That dead straight, perfectly hair, that tiny little skirt, those high heels.
Stop it. Everything she did, she would just like cop it. Like they were talking about like Victoria showing her tits and it was, she was like, ah, what's the point? I'm like, yes, yes, bitch, own it. I love you.
So that was my Rose.
I see that. I see that.
I feel that I shouldn't have gone first because now I've made it hard for you perhaps.
No, look, it's fine. Mine was always going to be Bob Geldof. When he had that one small scene where they changed his big curly ratsness of a hair into scary spice little buns.
Okay, sure. Good for him for letting them do that.
I remembered it and then I saw it again and I was like, ah, oh, that's it. Give that man a fucking Oscar. I love it.
Who is he?
He was some singer. Apparently he was really famous in the 80s.
So you don't know who he is?
Oh, like I know him. He did like Live Aid stuff.
Okay.
I'm sure he adopted Tiger Lily, which was another guy's, that guy died and then he adopted his daughter.
Okay. This is something familiar.
Apparently he's a, big humanitarian, but I'm sure as everyone else that I like, he's probably a fucking scumbag.
Oh no, just don't research him any further. Don't milkshake duck him. So your Rose is a person that was in this movie for about 10 seconds?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he had the most character development, didn't he?
He was so mad about his hair and I loved it.
Do you want me to do the thorn first?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Because I don't think I've thought about it.
Yeah, no, me either. That's why I wanted you to go first. You can pick a thorn.
Okay, do you know what? I'm just going to go with Damien, actually, the photographer. Because he had a trash job and he was good at it, right?
Right.
And then for no reason, he comes to an epiphany and decides to bring down his boss, which on first meeting his boss, he gave a bunch of incriminating photos.
I agree.
He could have brought his boss down from the moment he met him.
You're right. I see you. I understand where you're coming from. You're right. If you knew the guy was a scumbag, bring him down. You shouldn't have to be told to bring him down by the Spice Girls.
The Spice Girls didn't even tell him to do anything.
What a dick.
At least be good at your terrible job and own that you're good at your terrible job.
Okay. I have thought about my thorn for this whole 30 seconds you were talking. It's a minute character. In the first 5 minutes of this movie, the girls leave their Top of the Pops show and they walk out to where there's not meant to be any crowd or anyone looking at them. But as they do, crowds of people everywhere, thousands of people, and Clifford stops one guy and goes, "No up the skirts photos."
Oh, yeah.
And that guy can go to hell. That guy who went, "I'm going to try and take a photo up the skirt of the Spice Girls," he can get in the fucking bin. I hate him.
I thought you were going to give it to Clifford for fucking up. He could have checked out the door to see if there were thousands of people out there. But yes, dirty, sleazy photographers, unnecessary. These girls were like, what, 18 to 20 years old? No, you don't need to be taking photos.
Up their skirt ever. That's my thorn. That's my thorn. Also, the person who wrote that joke thinking that'd be funny, because that's not funny. That doesn't stand the test of time. Fuck off if you think it's cool.
It was probably Kim Fuller.
Kim Fuller, whose brother was dating Emma.
Well, I guess that brings us to the end, unless there's anything else. Oh, we didn't rate. We can rate which song was the best in the movie. Okay, I'll go first. I think it was Viva Forever, because this movie didn't have much drama, and that song at least gave the appearance that there was something going on deeper than what was happening. They had every song on it from their second album.
I don't know. Never Give Up on the Good Times.
That's a bop.
They're all dressed in army gear.
That holds up.
It's a song I had forgotten that existed. Never give up on the good times. Never get up on the down. Well, I think we can end it there then, Chris. This has been fun.
Yes, it was a wild ride. I wish that it was on streaming or for purchasing so that we could watch it at a little bit higher resolution than YouTube's 3 pixels per screen.
See, I kind of like that it's free on YouTube. What if people can't afford Netflix? I want our podcast to be for the people.
Created by the people, for the people.
Get on there. YouTube that shit. So what were you thinking of doing next?
I hadn't thought about it, so I'm just not going to say anything.
Oh, come on now. Wasn't it Save the Last Dance or?
Oh, no, I watched it.
And?
Mm.
Is it problematic?
Mm. Well, it's not fun and it drags on and it's just a white lady learning things from black people.
No. That's a no from me.
In the meantime, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Rosethorn Podcast.
And you can email us too on at rosethornpodcast@gmail.com. We love emails. We also love you just to slide into our DMs.
That's it. Good night. Goodbye.
Spice up your fucking life.